show for you today with fantastic matchups this week. Eagles against the Cowboys, and Dan Orlovsky will tell you exactly what Jalen Hurts needs to do to have success against the dominant Dallas defense. Also, Chiefs-Bills, where we have live reports from both teams. Marcus Spears is going to tell you if the Bills defense needs to do anything different on Sunday. And then how about Justin Jefferson? He joins the show. He's on a short list with a couple Hall of Famers just 3 years into his career. He also rates the gritty. So we got a few people on this show who've tried to do it. It hasn't been great. And he's going to tell you how he feels about him. Yeah, I am. That's Dan Orlovsky. You got Marcus Spears and Mina Kimes here, of course. Guys, we begin with a developing story out of Washington. 30-plus sources have told ESPN that Commanders owner Dan Snyder has been digging up, quote, dirt on other NFL owners and Commissioner Roger Goodell. Tisha Thompson, one of the co-authors on the story, has more details on the report.
In interviews with more than 30 people, including team owners and high-ranking league executives, ESPN has learned Snyder has told associates he's used private investigators and other sources to gather enough secrets to blow up several NFL owners and NFL commissioner Roger Goodell. Snyder thinks he has enough on all of them, a former senior Commanders executive told ESPN. He thinks he's got stuff on Roger. The NFL is a mafia, Snyder recently told another associate. All the owners hate each other. That's not true, a veteran owner told ESPN. All the owners hate Dan. Sources said they've been told Snyder instructed his law firm to hire private investigations on Goodell and at least six owners, including Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, historically one of Snyder's closest allies. Jones recently told confidants that he might not be able to protect Snyder any longer.
Jerry Jones declined to comment on the story. The Commander's spokesperson also denied that Snyder hired private investigators to track other owners and Commissioner Roger Goodell. For more, let's bring in one of the co-authors on the piece, Seth Wickersham. So glad to have you here, Seth. And that was a very quick look at your vast reporting. So what else can you add?
I think that this thing is just beginning. And I think it's not just that Dan has told people that he has collected dirt via private eyes. I know that he denied it, and his law firm, which is usually how they go through with these things, said that they're unaware of anybody who's been tracking the commissioner or other owners. And that might be true, but it doesn't change the fact that Dan has told this to people. Whether he's bluffing, whether it's just a scare tactic, it hasn't gone over well. There's a lot of owners who are angry at him and were angry at him before all of this. And I think that going into next Tuesday's meeting, I don't think that anything's going to happen with Dan. I don't think some decision's going to be made. But I do think there's a chance for a conversation on him, which really hasn't happened in those meetings.
Why is Jerry Jones such an important element in all of this?
Well, you can argue who's the most powerful owner. In fact, there's an executive in our story who says that the most powerful owner in the NFL is Dan. Because nobody will act on him.
Right.
But Jerry is the most influential owner. And when he changes on something, on an issue, he usually ends up getting his way. He's upset about this. We reached out to his spokesman asking if Dan had reached out to him since we had come to Dan with some of our reporting and what it had showed. And the spokesman declined comment. That doesn't happen very often with Jerry Jones. And if you look at the pictures, they obviously were talking on the field, and the Commander's social media made a big deal of the fact that he was on the field talking to Jerry before they played 2 weeks ago. Jerry doesn't look that happy in that picture. In fact, he's not really smiling.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of times he is, right? I mean,
yes.
That's a good observation. Okay, if the owners wanted to make a move to get Snyder out, what would that look like?
Well, there's the easy way, which is three-quarters of them, 24 owners, would just vote him out, and they could do that at any time. However, it's unclear if there's the appetite to do that. Yeah. And they've actually talked about different ways to address this. One of the hidden issues with Dan is that he has no prospects for a new stadium. In February, it looked like he had so much leverage between Maryland and Virginia, all these powerful politicians lined up. There's nothing going on with that stadium right now. And the owners are thinking about ways to use that against him. This is revealing about that, you know, the ownership circle, but they care more about some of the business issues that Dan has caused the league in costing his fellow owners money than a lot of the cultural issues and the bad press. And, like, I do think that they are looking at ways, if they can't vote him out, to figure out a way to transfer ownership permanently to Tanya. And they're quick to remind, remember when Donald Sterling was forced out of the NBA for racist comments years ago, it wasn't because Adam Silver and the owners voted him out. It was actually because of his wife, who moved him off of the family trust. Right. And if there's a way for them to transfer ownership to Tanya Snyder, who they really prefer working with and have a lot of respect for, I think they'll do that.
Yeah, Tanya Snyder, as you alluded to, is Dan Snyder's wife. Mm-hmm. All of this reporting and the full story is available on ESPN.com. Very interesting. You hear some of the hard truths of the business side of the NFL here, amongst many other things. Thanks so much to Seth Wickersham for joining us here. NFL league meeting set to take place next week as we get Adam Schefter in here. And you heard Seth referring to that. Adam, do we expect this to be on the agenda when the owners get together?
Well, Seth touched on a number of points, and no, Laura, it is not expected to be on the agenda. It doesn't mean it couldn't come up for discussion amongst owners, but it's not something that they're planning to discuss going into that meeting, which will be a brief one-day meeting. Now, that doesn't preclude them from talking about it, and there are people who believe that Roger Goodell would not be the one that would take Dan Snyder's team away from him. It would have to come from the votes of 24 owners, but as Seth and Don Van Atta and Tisha Thompson laid out in this particular piece, the support of Jerry Jones certainly seems to be waning for Dan Snyder. And if the support from him is not there, it leads to a whole host of questions about what his future with the team may be.
Adam, here's a reminder of just some of the recent events for the Washington franchise under Dan Snyder. In August of 2020, reports surfaced that 42 women faced harassment in the workplace and sexual harassment claims were made against Snyder. In December that same year, reports surfaced that Washington had reached a $1.6 million settlement back in 2009 with a former employee who had accused sexual misconduct against Snyder. Then last summer, Washington was fined $10 million by the NFL for workplace culture, and his wife Tanya Snyder was named the team's co-CEO. Then today's report dropped. Let's bring Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky back in here. Mina, how does today's report fit in with all the other allegations surrounding Snyder?
You know, it affirms something that I think many of us suspected, which is one of the reasons why Daniel Snyder is still an NFL owner, despite the fact that the criticisms and controversy section of his Wikipedia page is longer than the career section, is the fear of mutually assured destruction, which shouldn't be surprising, by the way, because when the government looked into Washington's culture, they found that Snyder used these similar tactics to silence and intimidate witnesses, but it doesn't make it less stunning. And I will say this, Laura, it's easy to read stories like this and hear about the reasons behind the owner's inaction and feel desensitized or that any of this is futile because nothing will ever happen. But I would really caution against that because the most important thing here, more so than how the owners view Snyder, is the fact that he was accused of enabling sexual misconduct and actually committing sexual assault himself and, in my view, has yet to face meaningful consequences. That is the most important thing, and it is something that the NFL can still address. When they looked into Snyder and Washington's toxic workplace culture last time and put out this report, pardon me, didn't put out the report, the Wilkinson report, it was essentially covered up. Now there's a second investigation conducted by Mary Jo White, and this one must come out because while we cannot compel the owners to push out Snyder, all of this makes that very clear. We can call for more transparency than there's been. And we can fight off complacency, which is, of course, the flip side of corruption.
Mm. Yeah, well said. my first thought, because reading this morning, was if the allegations against Dan Snyder are not true, then why are you going through all this work to dig up dirt on all the other owners? You know, it feels like you're doing it to protect yourself if this report is accurate. I do have questions, though, after Shefty talking in Seth's, and maybe, MK, you can answer these because you're way more knowledgeable about the situation. I think my first question was, because Seth said the owners right now don't have the appetite to potentially, or doesn't think they have the appetite to vote him out. I would want to know why. You know, like, what? Why is this not at least another option to have that appetite grown? I think my next question would be, if it's not now going to be talked about at the Tuesday morning meetings or Tuesday meetings, why not? Like, why can't this now become a focal conversation? And then again, MK, maybe why does Jerry Jones support him so much? Like, why is his support so high and now potentially waning? Is there something, you know, like?
Yeah, one quick, I do want to jump in with one clarification here. Just in case you don't know, Roger Goodell has made it very clear that Dan Snyder cannot be present at those Tuesday meetings. Now, that's not directly related to whether or not they would vote him out or whether or not it would be a discussion point
at
that point.
Right?
But he's not able to be there. Go ahead, Mina.
Yeah, well, Dan, I think Seth, Don, and Tisha's reporting lays out a pretty clear rationale for why there isn't this appetite, which is it sounds like many of these owners and people in and around the league harbor fear that Snyder will retaliate. And again, like, that is a totally reasonable fear, given, as I said, that the government's investigation into Washington found evidence of retaliation and silencing. And then, of course, it is a tremendous problem. I think ultimately owners act based on their bottom line, and perhaps the lack of appetite or the lack of action is tied to the money. And the money is ultimately going to be the thing that decides whether or not anything happens.
Yeah, as Seth said to us early on the show, he said, look, the major issue here is that financial side, right? From the owner's standpoint, they don't want to lose their businesses. Unfortunately, as Mina so outlined so well, there's sexual assault allegations that should also be paramount in all of this. Marcus, let's take it to the players for a minute here. How aware do you think the guys in the locker room are of a situation like this?
They're aware. I think it affects guys that potentially could be in free agency coming over to the Washington Commanders. But, you know, we just saw one of their budding stars sign a contract in Terry McLaurin. And I hate even putting his name to be associated with this story. But it highlights the point that these guys are there to play football. And that is the way they are compensated and take care of their families. And I know, like, y'all, this is the thing about our show. And listening to Mina and Dan talk, I can't help but give my two cents on what just said. Because I had not planned on touching this, because y'all know me and how I am about stuff. It's super black and white for me. The reason why Dan Snyder is still an owner in the NFL is because other owners won't vote him out, because a lot of them probably got the same type of dirt, and a lot of them are afraid of him coming out with a story. He's already been accused of sexual assault. He's already shown a bad work environment. He's already been fined $10 million for whatever has disengaged. And last time I checked, when you're the head or when you're the leader of a certain or a particular organization and all of these things happen, it falls on you. And now we will get anger, we will get disdain from the other owners in the NFL, because now Dan Snyder is infringing on their money, like Mina said, their bottom line, and the overall arching story is going to become about why 31 other owners won't vote Dan Snyder out. And that is the worst thing that can possibly happen, because they don't want anybody to open up their books. That's really what this boils down to.
Again, there's a lot of football to get to, and we're going to do that next on the show. But I think, as all of you have illustrated here, it's important to continue to bring a spotlight to these issues. The more we talk about them, the more we put pressure on everybody to expose these reports, as Mina outlined, maybe the more likely it can happen. We got more coming your way on NFL Live, and we're just getting started here today. Sunday night, we'll get a true battle of the trenches as the Eagles look to stay undefeated. Hear why Marcus thinks the Cowboys defense can't win it alone. Plus, Justin Jefferson joins the show. We'll talk about what change Kevin O'Connell has brought to the Vikings, why he says it's a breath of fresh air to have this new coaching staff in the fold. NFL Live is presented by Golden Corral. All you can eat, wings and more, at Golden Corral, the only one for everyone.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you.
Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Adam, some big names to monitor on the injury report this week. Let's start in New England. What do we know about Mac Jones and the ankle injury?
Laura, for a second straight day, Patriots quarterback Mac Jones was listed as a limited participant at practice. Now, he was moving around better, and he does have a chance to play this week against the Cleveland Browns. The fact that he's been out there, the fact that he's been limited, the fact he's moving better, all bode well for his potential availability for Sunday against Cleveland. If he can start, rookie fourth-round pick Bailey Zappe would get the call. Meanwhile, in Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back who missed practice yesterday due to an ankle injury, was back at practice today, which bodes well for his availability for Sunday's game. Taylor doesn't miss practice often. The fact that he missed yesterday was concerning, but it now looks like the Colts were holding him out in an effort to get him right as possible for Sunday. And how about this? Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott upgraded today to limited at practice, which is interesting, and we'll see whether or not that gets improved or upgraded again on Friday. Cowboys not ready to rule him out of Sunday night's game against the Philadelphia Eagles just yet. If he can't play, obviously, Cooper Rush would be the starter. The plan had been for Cooper Rush to start on Sunday night, Dak to come back maybe next week against the Detroit Lions. And one other injury note, no practice today for Saints wide receivers Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry, as well as cornerback Marshawn Lattimore.
Goodness, that's something to keep an eye on. You should have seen the sparkle in Marcus Spears' eyes as you're talking about Dak potentially being an option. He's trying not to show
too
much.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me, man.
Can't help it. Okay, our Cowboys reporter Ed Werder joins us now. And Ed, you caught up with Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones this afternoon. What did he tell you?
Yeah, Stephen Jones spoke to a few reporters before practice today about the team's expectations for when Dak Prescott does return from that fractured right thumb. The front office anticipates significantly better offensive productivity to combine with a defense that's clearly established itself as one of the most dominant in the league. Jones referred to Prescott as a franchise quarterback, and while he praised Cooper Rush for doing what he said was a hell of a job in protecting the ball, the Cowboys aspire to score more points upon returning a starting quarterback they describe as one of the best players in the entire game. Their scoring average of 18.6 points per game is identical to that of the Carolina Panthers, and they just fired their head coach. Mike McCarthy's team led the NFL in scoring last season with Prescott starting at quarterback for all but one game. Even McCarthy has described this as a defense-first team, and justifiably so. The Cowboys have held each of their first five opponents under 20 points for the first time in 50 years. Micah Parsons believes that's sustainable, but clearly the Cowboys would rather not depend entirely on historic defensive feats to be successful, especially when they're paying a quarterback $40 million a year.
Yeah, we'll see if that $40 million quarterback ends up playing this week. Either way, we'll see him back soon, sounds like. Thanks to Ed Werder for joining us here. And Ed, talking about that vaunted defense, we've heard plenty this season about how good Dallas's pass rush is. But here is a scatter chart, guys. We love these on NFL Live. To really help visualize how much better they are than the rest of the league. Okay, look at this. On this chart, the further to the right a team is, the higher their pass rush win rate is. The higher on the chart a team is, the higher their defensive pressure percentages. Look at the Cowboys. They're all the way up there in that top right corner by themselves because they are the best at both. And yes, that is music to Swagoo's ears. You see those big nods there. It's because, yeah, he loves scatter charts or splatter charts, whatever you want to call them, Dan. But anyway, what is
that? Mina introduced me to those.
I know. They're not splatter. Dan,
she did.
What does that Dallas defensive front, Dan, mean for Jalen Hurts this week, though?
They got to go right at him. What's that Robert Frost quote? The best way is through. You have to go right at
this. I thought it was the road, not travel. Eh. Anyway.
You got to go right at this Dallas defensive front. I did that touchscreen the other day when it came to going inside out, right at Micah Parsons. He's the best pass rusher in football. He's a very good defensive player, but they've got to go right at him. You know what'd be interesting? We haven't talked about it much this week, guys, is Jalen's legs. You know, not only in the scramble plays, but also in the designed run plays. And Dallas has not seen a run game that utilizes the quarterback legs really since Arizona, I think like week 16 or week 17 last year when, Kyler Murray ran for 50. Guys, Daniel Jones 2 weeks ago ran for 80 on them. And not all of that was designed. So, you know, we've talked about this matchup in such detail, but really the strength of Jalen's game, we haven't really touched on. And I think if as long as their philosophy, Philadelphia, is we are going to run right at you and really use Jalen's legs, sometimes creating, but also designed, that could be a very good success rate for their offense.
Yeah, Daniel Jones ran for 80, and Saquon Barkley in that game averaged 5.8 yards per carry. As great as this Dallas pass rush is, and they are truly great, as illustrated by that excellent scatterplot. They have somewhat of a weakness when it comes to stopping the run, and that, of course, is where Philadelphia is so strong. Look, this clash between the Dallas defensive line and the Philadelphia offensive line, like, if you like trench warfare, this is the game for you. But I would contend that the threat of that Philadelphia run game, and you know they're going to lean on it very hard to mitigate pressure and avoid third downs, presents a unique challenge for Dallas. Dallas says they want to be the best defense in the NFL. I think it's between them and San Francisco. To me, this is the ultimate test. Not only can you get after the quarterback, but can you stop the run when you know they're going to run the football? I'm going to have to see before I decide who's really the best defense in the NFL.
It might be the best battle in the trenches that we see all year. And the good thing is it's not just this week that we see it. But, Marcus, let's make you talk about the Eagles, okay? This Eagles defense, let's talk about them for a minute. Is this the week we see Cooper Rush's lack of experience finally show up on the field?
Potentially, Boogie. Right now, the Eagles are 25th against the run, but I think it has a lot to do, obviously, the Lions game earlier this season. And then also, they play from ahead a lot, so teams are probably trying to just ground it out and not have that offense with the ball in their hands. But the pressure is going to be on Cooper Rush. I don't think this is one of those games where Dallas at the line of scrimmage is going to be able to just line down and run. And when you get to the pass, look at this. Like, this is the Eagles' defense on the back end with Slay and Bradberry. Those guys are man-cover corners, but they also take the ball away. Total QBR for quarterbacks, they lead the league. Yards per average, they lead the league. Defensively, and the completion percentage, you see it there. So, look, we've had a honeymoon, all right? We've talked about how well the offense has looked and how balanced they've been able to be because of the run game. I talked about how comfortable you are playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys offensively. A lot of that lends itself to how they've been able to run the ball and the defense playing so well. This may be the first time where Cooper Rush actually has to make throws to win a game or to come from behind. So I'm interested to see if this game plays out that way, if we still have this love affair going on with Cooper Rush at the end of this game.
Check this out, because I think the Cowboys can't win unless Gallup and CeeDee Lamb play great, Marcus. If I was a quarterback and I ran up to the line of scrimmage and I spiked the ball, I clocked the ball, in that individual play, the passer rating is 39.6. Quarterbacks throwing to Darius Slay and James Bradberry, the starting corners for the Eagles this year, have a passer rating of 38.4.
Ooh, man. All right, that's interesting. Yep. That's a good way to put it into context. Also, we did Robert Frost dirty earlier, okay? So we both kind of had the quote wrong. The quote is, "The best way out is always through."
I was basically close.
Don't do that to our guy,
like,
Bob Frost.
That's
the latter part of the quote. Anyway, all right. You know what's
first
coming
of all,
up
y'all,
next on the show?
That's too smart for us. Stop.
Well, maybe
that's
some of us. It's time for the Dan
He's
Wagon.
A poet, Marcus. Marcus.
Let's go, Dan. The horses are back in the studio.
We're living in the NFC East. We're living in the NFC East. I'll give you a little hint. I played for the Lions. So did this guy.
Oh. But does he play for him
right
now?
What a chicken nugget.
Oh, his boy.
That sounds good right now. I'm hungry.
His boy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dan, giddy up. Come on, yeehaw.
We got to get a Dan Wagon in.
What you mean what I mean. Josh Downe, welcome to the Dan Wagon.
Matthew Stafford's on the freaking Dan Wagon.
Jonathan Taylor.
Javonte Williams.
Najee Harris on the Dan Wagon.
Did anyone notice those weird things Dan was doing with that pony? It's so bizarre. Kind of soft.
I think that's an exaggerated take with all due respect to Dan.
Mr. Swagoo, yes. Putting a defensive guy on.
Yes.
Here's
Aww.
The mistletoe. This is a pretend mistletoe.
Are you guys going to kiss?
No. Just try to find guys who are playing really well and put them on.
Our producer, Mark Eisman, calls it the dumbest segment that we do.
Yeehaw! It may be dumb.
It really is. It really is.
I love it. Dan, who's on the
hold
Dan
on.
Wagon?
Hold on, Marcus. We went to commercial break last time, and you said you know who it is. Who's your guess? I give you one guess.
Slay.
Man, you're no. so... I love making you look silly
he
on television.
You.
I got you. I'll never put a corner on these. Okay, yes, he played for the Lions, but not in the NFL. He played for the Lions in college.
The Nittany's
Lions. Saquon Barkley is on the Dan Wagon. Woo! Saquon Barkley leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage, 676 yards. He's having a phenomenal season. Their offensive line is doing a great job. They give him a little bit of wildcat. They give him a little bit of a pass-catching option, 21 personnel. Two backs, one tight end on the bottom of the screen. Now, you match as a defense with base personnel. I got seven bigs on the field. I'm going to force your linebackers to carry things vertical while also communicating. Push my tight end, backer you follow. That backside backer's got vision in the backfield because he thinks that backer to the bottom of the screen is going to take Saquon. He doesn't. Short pass goes to a long run. Now I go unbalanced formation. I bring my left tackle over and put him on the right side. I pull two people, so I now have big on big on big, and I got three skill position players, a back, wide receiver, and tight end blocking basically secondary guys, so athletically in space they match up with my backside guard picking it off. Saquon Barkley right now accounts for 40% of his team's offense. That's the most in the NFL.
Wow.
If you're not a quarterback. He also has six plays of 25 yards or more, also the most in the NFL. Saquon Barkley, welcome to the Dan Wagon. Marcus, that's what I got to say to you.
Marcus, what is it with this Lion reference Dan tried to do? Like, that was not okay.
You're not smart enough. You're not smart enough.
It's just so dumb.
You're not
it's
smart
so
enough.
Dumb. I'm just glad he took his Eagles pom-poms off. That's what I thought
pom-poms.
You was going to do. I thought you was about to be
about
a big
pom-poms.
Cheerleader.
That's enough.
You're going to sing the fight song this weekend for Dallas.
Barkley has been the driving force there. Behind the Giants' ground game this season, which has been dominant, as Dan referenced. New York ranks top five in the league in yards per rush. Yards before contact per rush, and first downs per rush. That should be a big advantage for Big Blue on Sunday, as the Ravens defense ranks near the bottom of the league in all of those areas and last in yards before contact per rush. Hey, absolutely monster game Sunday afternoon between the Bills and Chiefs. And we got both teams covered. You see them right there. Coley Harvey in Kansas City, Jeremy Fowler in Buffalo. Jeremy, we start with you. What do we need to know?
Laura, I just spoke to Gabe Davis in the locker room, and I asked him, after those four touchdowns you had last year against Kansas City, do you think they could switch up their defensive looks on the Bills' passing game? And he said, no, both sides have a lot of pride, and we feel like we can score no matter what we're going up against. And that's sort of been the Bills' mentality all week, unfazed by the moment. They can actually thank Kobe Bryant for that. I'm told the Bills, as a team, recently watched an inspirational video about Kobe's Mamba mentality. And the takeaway was all about the power of staying in the moment. Now let's send it over to Coley Harvey with the Chiefs.
Thanks, Jeremy. As Chiefs defenders prepare for Bills quarterback Josh Allen, a week after the NFL's latest roughing the passer controversy, they're reminded of a skit from comedian Kevin Hart, who years ago joked about laying a quarterback down gently and tucking him in before getting credit for a sack. Said defensive tackle Colin Saunders, that's about as accurate as you can get. The unique challenge with Allen, however, is his size. That makes it even tougher to bring him down. Defensive end Carlos Dunlap told me the best way is to grab his arms and hope you slow his momentum that way. Laura?
I guess that might work. All right, time to go on trend. I'll hit our analysts with a current statistical trend. They'll tell you if they see it continuing this weekend. Let's stay on this Bills-Chiefs matchup. This season, Patrick Mahomes ranks first in QBR against zone coverage, throwing first downs at the highest rate of any quarterback in the league. On Sunday, he'll face a Bills defense that utilizes zone on 72% of opponent dropbacks, second most in the NFL. Marcus, you think the Bills defense will still play that much zone this weekend?
I don't believe they'll play that much zone. I still think they'll give you a heavy dose of it. But I think in the waning as well with Tre'Davious White returning, which is huge, may put them in some man situations. I think at times you have to try to pressure Patrick Mahomes at advantageous situations. I don't expect Leslie Frazier to just sit back in zone and it be Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes finding holes in that defense. So I think we will see a little change up with pressure and at times man-to-man.
This season, the Cleveland Browns rank dead last in defensive expected points added per rush. Mina, do you expect this trend to continue against New England on Sunday?
Unfortunately, I do. What is so concerning about the Browns' run defense isn't just any one thing. Up front, the defensive line is too soft, but behind them, you've got linebackers and DBs missing tackles as well. The Chargers came in with one of the worst run games in the NFL. Austin Eckler put up over 170 yards against them. Now, here comes a New England run game that I believe is one of the best, along with Cleveland, in the leagues. I don't see this trend stopping this week.
Yeah, Dan said yesterday, watch out for New England. You guys kind of getting a little bit higher on them. Jefferson recorded his sixth career game with at least 150 receiving yards. That's already tied for the most games by a player in their first three seasons in NFL history, placing him alongside two Hall of Famers in Randy Moss and Lance Allworth. Pretty great company there. We now welcome in a very special guest to the show, Vikings Pro Bowl wide receiver Justin Jefferson. We're so glad to have you here. I'll just start with the names that you just heard there, Justin. What does it mean to you to be in that great company at the wide receiver position?
Oh, it's a blessing, honestly, to be in company with those type of names, Hall of Famers at that. So I guess you can say I'm doing a pretty good job so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're doing all right, okay? You guys have started the season 4-1. What has Kevin O'Connell and staff brought to your team?
They brought a lot. Just the connection with KO, him being a player's coach, just connecting with us ever since he got here. It's been great working with him and the rest of the staff. And I feel like it's just a fresh air, you know, just with the new staff and the new players coming in. And we feel confident about this team this year.
Yeah, it's obviously working out really well for you and this entire team. We love to see it. All right, so we know about all your talent on the field, right? And that's important. But we did see on your Instagram that it only took you 10 minutes to catch your first fish. There you are right now with the fish. So listen, like, I've been fishing before, and there's a reason why they call it fishing and not catching. What's the key to the immediate catch there?
I have no idea, honestly. I guess it was just the beginner's luck, me being out there for the first time and catching a fish in like 10 minutes. So I guess it's the beginner's luck. I couldn't tell you how to have good technique or anything, so don't ask me.
Did you catch any more after that? Because that's probably the real key.
Nah, but we're going to keep that. We're going to keep that on the safe side.
Like, all right, we're one and done on the fish. Okay, so we have to talk about the gritty, because I think you do the best gritty I've ever seen, and you probably hear that from everybody, but a lot of people try to be like you, okay? So what do you think the gritty has become as it's associated with you, but just kind of like taking off in general as people try to be like you?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, first of all, it's just crazy how far the gritty has come from, you know, me just doing it at LSU with teammates just being funny and goofy to now it being one of the best celebrations today. So for all of the kids around the world doing the gritty and putting their own little mix to it, I love it. I love seeing the different videos and the different people just trying to hit it all around the world.
All right, so you talk about the kids doing the gritty. We got a couple people on NFL Live who like to do the gritty, too. We're going to have you rate the gritty. So this is what we call grading the gritty with Justin Jefferson, the best grittier that there is. We're going to start with Adam Schefter here, Justin. Just check out this gritty, and I want a real-time 1 to 10 scale. How's he doing?
It's like a I give it a 1.
Ooh! Yeah. Burn for Shefty. Hey,
that.
Justin, he also suffered a knee injury from this. I believe it was like an MCL tear. So
that's why it was bad. That's why it was so bad.
It's literally adding insult to injury, or maybe vice versa. All right, now Dan Orlovsky, okay? Watch this one and rate this gritty on a scale of 1 to 10.
I'll give it a 5.
Oh.
He got the motion down pat, but he just got to get the footwork down pat. So give it a 5.
Okay, that's very generous of you giving it a 5. I feel like he's hopping too much, right? Like he needs to be like a little smoother, maybe. I don't know. I act like I could do it. I can't. So don't ask me to do it. I tried one time. It was really bad.
We need to see that one.
Yeah. Some things would probably have to happen for me to get to the point of doing a gritty. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much, Justin Jefferson, for joining us here on NFL Live. We appreciate you, and good luck this week.
Appreciate you.
I feel great. I feel great. A 5 from the legend himself? I'm in.
You know what they say in life, Dan? You get what you deserve. I deserve the 1.
Yeah, yours is bad, Shefty, but you're an effort guy. No one's going to question. Dude, he gave me a 5. I'm going to take that right there, Shefty. Shefty, see, like.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought you demonstrated some good rhythm there. Good
you know
rhythm.
What's funny, Shefty? He said, you got to get the footwork right. I've literally heard that from my coaches since I was like 8 years old. That's what happens when you're a bad athlete. So I'll take that, man. Appreciate you, Justin. Thank you.
I thought Dan would be insulted by the 5, and Dan's like, wow, man, let me pat myself on
the
back.
The best part is you pot-stirring, going, well, this, I don't know, he's kind of lacking a little bit. He's too choppy, but I've never done it.
I was hoping he would lower the score because I felt like he kind of gypped Adam with that 1. You know, I was trying to.
And you know, Laura, the truth of the matter is that was probably 1 higher than I actually deserved, so that's good.
He wanted to give you
a whole. But you're a 10 in our book, Shefty, when it comes to a person and an insider.
Appreciate it.
Never a dull moment in Washington, and that was a quick encapsulation of what happened this week. Adam, can you add any more context, though, to how all this played out?
Well, Ron Rivera felt bad about it and obviously wanted to explain to Carson Wentz what he meant by his comments, which he felt were taken out of context. He was just talking about how other quarterbacks have had more time to establish themselves on other teams. And so the Commanders' week began by losing their 4th straight game on Sunday to Tennessee. On Monday, Ron Rivera makes the remarks. Then he has to meet with Carson Wentz. Today is the report from ESPN about Dan Snyder and the franchise. And tonight, they close out their week in Chicago on the road in a short week against the Chicago Bears in Thursday Night Football.
What a week. Also, crazy weather in Chicago right now, by the way. Dan,
does anyone feel a little bit bad for Carson Wentz, though? I know he's a hot-button topic. Dude, it's weird that everybody just jumps on the first opportunity they can to kind of like bash
them. Okay, I want to ask you a question. I do feel a little bit bad. I'll be totally honest. As a human being, you feel
right,
a little bit bad.
Like, everyone takes shots at him all the time.
So do you see this having an effect on Wentz, especially with the context of like what he's dealt with lately?
Yeah, I do, because he's got a track record of, or at least what you hear, that he has a track record of that. You go back to the Super Bowl and Nick Foles, and you know how Nick Foles winning that Super Bowl impacted his relationship in Philadelphia, and then the drafting of Jalen Hurts, and you know, kind of, as you know, Marcus and Mina kind of brought my attention to it. It's like he's a roller coaster ride. You know, sometimes his highs are as good as anybody's, and then the lows, and it seems like a lot of times the lows are him trying to kind of prove himself so much to other people, and you kind of get concerned that tonight is the perfect storm, so to speak, that coming off of this conversation or this comment by Ron Rivera, is he going to go out tonight on Thursday Night Football, only game on, and try to go prove that his coach was wrong? Not paying attention, but like you, whatever you do tonight is not going to change that coach's perception of you as a player, you know? So you got to try to compartmentalize it.
Yeah, listen, man, y'all know me. I'm the last to feel bad for somebody, especially when they done made $100 million. But I do as well, bro, because here's the thing, too. And I think I will carry some fault in that. And I think people need to as well, because when it comes to Carson Wentz's name, we have this overall arching conversation about his failure alone. Well, let me tell you what the hell happened and what Ron Rivera should be saying. Scott Turner, do we have anything else in our playbook that allows our running backs to have success on Sunday? They ran the ball 12 damn times against the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And the game was never out of hand.
Right.
And Carson Wentz threw the ball 38 times. So at some point, You need to start focusing on more people than just Carson Wentz. Y'all know how I get on here and talk about a quarterback when they playing bad. I got guys I believe in, guys I don't, based on what I've watched. But ultimately, man, this is some crap when it comes to Ron Rivera. Help the man, Scott Turner. Help him.
Well, you mentioned running back. Could be some help at running back tonight. Again, Brian Robinson will start at running back for the Commanders against the Bears. Robinson returned to action last week after being shot twice in his right leg on August 28th. It was great to see him running out there on the field. We'll see him start in this game tonight. Let's get to the other side and Justin Fields, who's coming off one of the best games of his young career. Fields struggled early this season, posting a QBR of just 26 through four games. But on Sunday, he recorded a 77 QBR while posting his highest completion percentage as a starter in his career. A big difference for Fields was he was getting the ball out quicker this past Sunday, which also resulted in a much lower sack percentage compared to his first four games. That works, right, Mina? What changed in your eyes for Fields last week?
He just looked more comfortable and trusting of his surroundings, trusting of the scheme, trusting that guys would get open, and rather than hesitating as he has often in the first few weeks of the season, you saw him planting his foot, delivering the shot plays off of play action quickly, taking advantages of when his receivers were open in a way that you really haven't so far this season. You put up the numbers there of how long he takes to throw. So far, the longest time in the NFL, 3.1 seconds. Laura, in the second half in particular of last week, he was actually throwing in 2.77 seconds. That might not sound like a big difference, but Dan can speak to this. The difference between 3.1 and 2.77 is a lifetime in quarterbacking, and that's going to be so imperative tonight because Washington's strength is their pass rush. They're weak in the secondary, and if he can get that ball out quickly, he can take advantage of that.
Totally agree, MK, and really in the second half, you saw his feet become quiet. When his feet are quiet, his eyes listen to them significantly more, and that's what I want to watch tonight in the game against Washington. Just watch his feet, okay? You get the slice action, horizontal ball fake, and you really want to get the linebackers to jump up to throw the receiver at the top, but it's not there. Everyone pay attention to his feet right now. It is just a little bit of a slide, 1 foot back in the ground, and then you drive that ball to the sideline. So often when Justin gets himself in trouble, his feet kind of get choppy or hoppy off the ground because he's such a dynamic athlete. You really want them to kind of stay almost scraping the ground. That's when they're much more quiet. And when he does that, his eyes follow his feet. Pay attention to that tonight. Quiet feet lead to much better play for Justin Fields.
All right, let's get to this game as we're about to pick it. Ron Rivera arriving there in Chicago. You see him come in. Is that a pillow? Does he travel with a pillow?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. That's a bold move and also
a body
smart
pillow.
Move. I always miss my pillow when I'm on the road. All right, let's go ahead and pick this one between the Bears and the Commanders. I believe we'll throw our picks up on the screen here. Maybe not. Are we going to... Oh, here they are. All right, so you're going to see that everybody here is going with the Commanders. I'm going with the Bears. Maybe it's because the weather's crazy. I just kind of want them to win. I think the Bears are going to win this one.
I do not feel great. I do. I like your pick better than my pick.
Oh, well, you can change your pick if you want.
Me too.
Oh, you guys want to pick the Bears?
The weather changes it.
I'm going with the Washington pass rush.
Also,
he's got that pillow. That tells me he's confident. He's going to sleep well.
No, I liked it. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Run the football, Scott Turner.